Good evening, children of the stars. I hope you can hear my music. Welcome to another incredible evening of Cosmic Code Radio. Tonight's show is for all my locals out there from the Monterey Bay all the way up to the San Francisco Bay Area. We're going to have two guests on tonight. My guest on in a few, little bit is going to be Summer Carter. And Summer Carter is a... She is the paranormal investigator for the USS Hornet, which is one of the most haunted ships that's out of commission, of course. And it's an incredible place. I had the opportunity of going there back on August 25th for a heavy metal concert, but I actually got to do a ghost tour, and I was so fascinated by the ship, I wanted to have them on my show. Now, my first two guests that are going to be joining me tonight, I have a full lineup pair. I'm joined with Polaris. She is a Zumba instructor, and she's affiliated with Animal Friends Rescue. And Tavin. Tavin is also affiliated with Animal Friends Rescue and Dance for a Cause. And they're going to be joining me in just a second. Good evening, you guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for inviting us to be on.
Yeah, oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Welcome to the show. Let my listeners know now. I've been doing Zumba since March of, I'd say, 2011. I joined, and I'm addicted to it. I can't get enough of it. And when I saw this for animals and Zumba, I sat there and said, this has got me written all over it. This is me. So explain to me what this event is about.
Well, we're really happy to, and we're happy to have folks out there like you, and I think there's a lot of us and you out there. A couple of years ago, let me start from the beginning really quickly. Tavin and I have both been doing animal rescue work for probably about 20 years now or more. That includes fostering and volunteering for the shelters and doing all sorts of work. It's a commitment that we have personally to volunteer our time to do this. We're very passionate about it. And about 2 years ago, I joined the Zumba community. And I was just amazed at the energy and the spirit and the commitment and just this wonderful, wonderful aura of the community, the Zumba community, who's now a million strong. And I became an instructor. But I said to myself, listen, there's got to be some way to match up this incredible Zumba energy with this wonderful, heartfelt passion of animal rescue. You know, how can we combine these things, too, and just skyrocket the effort. So there and then was born Dance for the Rescues, which is our organization. So Dance for the Rescues, our mission is to support animal rescue groups that make a lifelong commitment to those in their care. So essentially those animal rescue groups that reach in and give those animals that might not make it through the shelter environment a little more time, give them the medical care they need. I mean, honestly, if we look at the numbers, there's 6 to 8 million cats and dogs that enter our shelter systems in the U.S. every single year, and half of those animals are euthanized. Many of those are adoptable. Many of those are healthy animals that are adoptable. They just need a little more time, and unfortunately, the shelters are overcrowded. So I wanted to do something, and Tavin wanted to do something that made a big difference, that opened the eyes of people that maybe didn't have any idea what the animal, you know, rescue experience was about. And alternatively, people that were in the animal rescue field to find out what Zumba is all about and this wonderful energy.
Very cool. That's really cool. Tavin, do you have anything to add?
No, that's it. Just a little bit.
Okay.
In the animal rescue arena, we often find a limited number of people that care and are involved, and when there's a dog or a family of cats that needs to be rescued, it's often preaching to the same choir. So somebody might bring that third dog into their house or that fourth, and it's a limited exposure. And so what Zumba and the Dance of the Rescues does is it's a whole new audience exposed to, you know, oh, I can foster care. I can, you know, help this animal, and I don't have to adopt it permanently, but I can keep it and rescue it from the shelter. So it's the exposure to new people other than the tried and true animal rescue folks, and that's just beautiful. And like Polaris said, even the exercise benefit of going the other way.
Let me ask you guys a question. Is all, like, the Zumba dancers and Zumba instructors locally, are they all involved in this event? I mean, will I recognize the instructors from, I go to Gold's Gym in Salinas. Will they be involved in this?
You very likely will. What we do, and unfortunately we only have so many hours in a day, this is our third annual one. So what we do is we put a reach out to the instructors that may be interested in helping out. Each of the instructors volunteers their time, which is just wonderful and amazing. We have instructors coming from actually throughout California. Most of them are local, so you probably will recognize them.
Okay.
And they come from all the different studios. We really try to put an outreach so that the various studios are represented. It's not necessarily one, you know, I, for example, teach at a particular studio, but it's not just the instructors there that are coming. We wanted to invite as many people to come as possible.
Okay, so is there a... I want to print out a flyer or two because I want, when I go to Zumba tomorrow, I'd like to have a couple of flyers in hand just for some of the people in Salinas who aren't aware of the happenings going on in Monterey.
Excellent.
Is that possible? Yeah. You got my email.
On our website, we do have a website.
What is that?
www.danceforthescues.org, or you can just Google Dance for the Rescues and you should be led to our website. And we have tons of photographs there. We have our poster there. We have a nice little video that was actually made from some of the photos from our very first one 3 years ago that we're hopefully going to update next year. And also, if you do Facebook, the Facebook site has a lot of great information on it as well. And we'll get to the animal ambassadors in a minute. But you can download a poster from there or some information about the event.
All right. Very cool. Now, I do have a question. My children seem to have it in their head that an ambassador means that you dance and then you, my 7-year-old thinks her prize is she gets to take a little, what's his name here? This 12-pound Yorkie Stewie. She thinks she's going to get to take it home.
Well, that would be a great prize. But yeah, let me clear that up a little bit.
A little bit here.
Being an animal ambassador essentially means that you are committing yourself to helping raise money and awareness for the animals that are part of the beneficiaries, Animal Friends Rescue Project, or Peace of Mind Dog Rescue. Every one of the ambassadors gets a unique animal, an animal that's currently adoptable or was adoptable at the time. We put a little story up there. And each of the animal ambassadors gets a pledge sheet with the animal story on it and their photograph. And what we encourage people to do is share the story, for example, Pat and us, Bloomers. Share the story of Bloomers, how he ended up, being rescued, what he needs, what his personality is about. And maybe, actually, by telling the story, Bloomers will find a home. Or if not Bloomers, maybe one of the other rescue animals. So the monies that are raised by the pledge dancers are actually divided equally between the two animal rescue organizations to support animals like Bloomers. But it's all very important to still tell the story of one and to also let people know, hey, Bloomers is out there and there's a lot of other animals that are out there looking for a permanent home. So, please tell the story.
Definitely. In fact, I'm sitting here looking at my pledge sheets. I have three in front of me. I've got Black Mamba, and I've got my daughter picked Mozzie, and, of course, my other daughter picked Stewie. But out of all these animals, the Black Mamba, she had babies, and now she's waiting for adoption. And I want to ask you this question while I have both of you here. Is it true, or is this a rumor, that black cats in general take longer to adopt if they get adopted at all? Is that a rumor?
Actually true. That is true.
Why is that?
And it's interesting because black cats are, we've done tons of fostering of all sorts of kitties and we love them all, but black cats seem to have this wonderful intelligence.
This smartness.
I love black cats. They're just, they have this incredible energy to them.
Mm-hmm. And, it's interesting because, black cats obviously have the superstition,
Right.
People think they're unlucky or, maybe they just look all alike. They're all black. It's like, what's distinguishing about this one,
Well, their personality is that for one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Each and every one has a different personality.
which is, you know, what's interesting is that, unfortunately, animals in the shelter system often don't have an opportunity to show you their true personality. It's not always easy for an animal to be in a shelter. That's another reason Peace of Mind Dog Rescue and Animal Friends Rescue reach into the shelter and pull out the ones that have the least chance of making it through the shelter system. They might be a little older. They might have an injury. They might be a new mom. They might be a baby. These animals are sometimes labeled as unadoptable, or an animal, a black cat, that, you know, may not be adopted. And unfortunately, a lot of these animals get euthanized in the shelter system. By taking them out and putting them in one of these rescue organizations, they're given the time and the attention they need to find out what their personality is and to get, you know, strong and confident and make a loving companion for someone.
Oh, and they get the full veterinary care and medicine, and if they're
spayed and neutered,
microchipped, and if they've got a cold, there's the medicine. And so they're very well taken care of, and hence the need for raising funds.
So basically, Animal Friends Rescue Project, I would, in my opinion, is a safe haven for animals. There's no death sentence when they're there.
So it's like, no death. Exactly. You're exactly right.
There's no death sentence.
Right. And our mission as Stamps for the Rescues is to support those organizations that make that lifetime commitment. If an animal is pulled and put into either Peace of Mind Dog Rescue or Animal Friends Rescue Project, that animal will not be euthanized. It will not, because it can't find a home, or it's taking a while, or it might have some condition that they can treat. It won't be euthanized simply because it's taking too long. We've had animals in the system that maybe take a year or two to really get to the point that they can be adopted. They make that commitment, and they rely entirely on community support and donations. So that's one of the reasons we want to support them, is because they don't have a source of funding other than the big hearts out there like you.
Well, I'm a sucker for animals. I just can't help myself. I like them more than people sometimes because they're real, you know. You know, they're never judgmental. If you're having a bad hair day, that your cat doesn't look up at you and go, "God, lady, will you do something with that hair?"
Exactly. You know?
They're forgiving, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. But
right.
So, and as for the pledges, it's $20 or more is what we're trying to achieve, right?
Exactly, and getting back to the animal ambassadors, this is a core fundraising part of our event. Our event is free. It's held at the Custom Health Plaza. We invite everybody and anyone, and bring your dogs, bring your animals, just come and enjoy the music, enjoy the festivities. The core way we raise money is from the pledge dancers who agree to take the story of one, and we hope that each one can raise at least $20. And on the day of, they get a wonderful bid, they get a special bracelet that designates that they've done something special, and then they're eligible for prizes throughout the day. So it's
just a
wonderful way to feel good and do good and have fun. And again, the animal doctors do not have to dance. If they don't want to dance, they just come and sit and enjoy the music.
You're going to have vendors, right?
Yeah, Grandpa could be a animal ambassador and just enjoy that he's contributed and be there part of the day. There's going to be food, music, and things to do, raffles.
All right. Mayo yogurt is there? Is that my understanding?
Yes.
And California pizza.
We've been blessed with great sunshine the past couple of years we've done this, and it turned out that we really needed something cold and refreshing like Mayo yogurt.
After hours of dancing, I think I've earned a Mayo yogurt.
and Polaris kids me on this because I just get such a grin on my face. Monterey City Fire Department, and I think they also provide fire services for some of the other local communities here. They came at our request last year, and they brought right there on the Monterey Plaza their big ladder truck.
I'm so excited about it.
And, you know, there I am, just the little boy in me that likes to look at trains and airplanes, and there's the fire truck. And there it was on the plaza, the big old ladder truck with the guy that gets to drive at the back seat. And they brought out their red fire caps, and moms and dads were putting the kids up there in the driver's seat
so cool.
with the red fire engine hat. and folks were just smiling and having a good time. And they even changed out the engines through the day as the different fire ships. And they are coming back this year really strong.
Were you able to get those firemen to do any Zumba? That's my next question.
Well, you know, I saw a couple of them doing a little shaking. And when the music got going really, really loud and they were having fun, they put on the siren. It was great.
Oh, I can't wait. This sounds like a blast, you guys. I'm excited, and we will definitely be there, myself and my two girls. And is there anything else you guys want to add before we head off?
Well, you know, another thing is, even if you can't make the event, even if, you know, you're hearing from far away, let your friends know. Talk to everyone. Tell them this is happening. I mean, just by participating and sharing the story, that's where we get some of our greatest success. And you don't need to attend the event if you want to be a pledge dancer. We're also encouraging people to donate online. There's a donate button there. All the money that's raised from this, all the proceeds go directly to these animal rescue groups. So it's a great cause, and it's a great way to have fun. But if you can't be there, you can still participate.
So we want to go to www.danceforthrescues.org if you can't make it and you want to donate. This
Absolutely.
Is the site to go to.
Or if you want a pledge sheet.
And get a pledge sheet, right?
You can do either one. You can make a donation to the event, which will go directly to the animals. Or if you want to participate by being a pledge dancer, we have all our pledge forms of our available animals listed there and also on our Facebook site.
And there's a fun little blog there, too, if you want to include your animal story or maybe a rescue that you had or somebody special in your neighborhood that cares for the cause.
Sounds good to me. As soon as my show is done, I will repost this website on my website and my Facebook pages. I have a couple of them, so I'll post that out, get the word out as much as we can.
Yeah, invite your friends. Oh, one last thing.
All right.
I know we've talked.
No worries. It's all good.
Yeah. The dancing this year, we've actually expanded it beyond Zumba. So even if, you know, if you love Zumba, awesome. But if you don't, there's other kinds of dance. We're going to have hula, hot hula. And we're also going to have the Danceables, which are dancing dogs that are going to do Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, how cute. Oh, that's great. Because, yeah, you know, not everyone's into the Zumba. And what's kind of neat about Zumba is it's incorporated so many different styles of music, you know, reggaeton and Caribbean and hip-hop. So it's kind of flexible with everyone's taste in music, so to speak.
Exactly. And we do have 14 or 15 different instructors throughout the day, so you're bound to find someone that you just fall in love with. And hopefully
awesome.
A little animal you fall in love with. We have the dance, but also the animals there today, too.
And there'll be animals for adoption there that day, right?
Absolutely. We're going to have the bunnies are going to be there. We're going to have adoptable cats and dogs. And, And also the horse rescue group is going to be there as well if you've been thinking about adopting a horse.
Oh, awesome. Cool. All right. We've covered all our bases. I think we're good to go. Thanks, you guys, so much for joining me. And when you do this again next year, you will definitely be my guests again.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Devin. Thanks, Polaris. Okay, have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, are you going to come down yourself?
I'm coming down with my daughters. I've already got my – I want my little number. I'm going to dance, and I'm going to have fun.
Awesome.
I told you I love Zumba, so this is awesome.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful evening.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Tavin and Polaris of danceforthrescues.org. You can go and check out that website. Even if you're not local, and I know there's a lot of people listening to me this evening that are not local, if you go to that website, you can sponsor and be an ambassador to one of these animals and help with food, medication, and help save a life. Wonderful. That is October 14th, by the way. See you there. All right. My next guest on in just a few seconds, and I'm going to – what I want to do before I do that is read Libra's forecast. I promised I'd make time for this, and people were kind of griping, oh, I want to hear my forecast. I'm going to have Summer on in just 1 second. This won't take me but less than 2 minutes. Libra, the lover of grace and harmony, seeking the balance of matrimony. Through there, those that hold opinions tight, I will see it in all the different lights. I am Libra, child of Venus. Let's see here. I have a mini forecast for you guys. The month of October is ruled by the planet Venus and by the charming sign of Libra. You are strongly motivated by a desire for justice, and you must create harmony in all areas of your life. You are classified as the peacemaker in astropsychology, and isn't that the truth? Every Libra I've known is a peacemaker, always wanting to balance out the situation. You have a gentle personality, and your sense of diplomacy is incredible. Talk about a diplomat. That is what Libra is. You rarely learn by mistake, but you must avoid prolonged indecisions. Yes, Libra, that is your downfall. You are extremely indecisive. I know this because I've gone shopping with you. You rarely learn by mistake, but you must avoid prolonged indecisions. Those born in October must establish Libra's soul's purpose of achieving balance, emotional, financial, and spiritual stability during the course of their lifetimes. You possess a strong psychological aptitude and do very well in real estate and the food industries, stock market, interior design, marriage counseling, and pretty much the arts in general. You guys rock at. One of Libra's downfalls is religion and your refusal to challenge early religious tutoring or addictions. Casting aside any self-discovery and real spirituality will slow down or eliminate your chances to develop cosmic consciousness and establish emotional, financial, and spiritual stability. Libra and Capricorn, you're both very, very prone to religious poisoning. Unfortunately, that is a fact with both Libra and Capricorn. The new dragon's tail in Taurus will stimulate your eighth house of corporate money, contracts, and legacy, where you will experience a rebirth and a full difficult restructure of your finances. The dragon will induce financial responsibility to others following a breakup or some unwanted stress in your life. The dragging dragon in your personal finances will also demand of you to consistently regenerate with creative and investigative spiritual material. Now, souls born in October, you're going to be tested to your limits for the next 18 months in the affairs of money. This year of 2012 could mark the beginning of an era, and it could mean financial security or loss for many Libras. Now, souls born in October should be ready for beneficial career associations offering great prospective business deals with souls born in April, June, October, and those born in August. Now, the new dragon will also stimulate your second house of corporate money, contracts, and legacy, where you will experience a rebirth of your own aptitude to generate and make an income for yourself. Basically, Libra, good luck to all of you. And the ones with the good karmic past are going to be the ones that benefit. Those of you who have some bad karma, well, you're going to have to go with the flow and realize that the stars are nothing more than a learning phase, and we all learn. Now, joining me in just a second is, and I want to cue in some music because I promised this band. I got sent this music the other day from this band. And since I discovered the USS Hornet at a heavy metal concert, I thought this would be very appropriate. This is a band called Sweetest Devilry. You can check them out at sweetestdevilry@gmail.com. They gave me permission tonight to play their intro music. Since we are having a paranormal investigator for one of the most haunted ships that's around, my guest tonight is Summer. Summer is a paranormal investigator for the USS Hornet, and she is joining me right now. Good evening, Summer. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So wonderful to have you. I hope you don't mind my scary Halloween music.
Oh, no. It's awesome.
Summer, let me ask you a quick question. What exactly was your job at the Hornet? Are you a paranormal investigator there? Is that my understanding?
Yeah, so basically my team, Alameda Paranormal Researchers, investigated the Hornet sort of on our own, like in a private tour. And they were so impressed by us and our equipment and our techniques that they actually asked us to help them host paranormal tours on the ship. And so now we all are volunteers on the ship, and we take people around, show them sort of the haunted hot spots, and show them our equipment, how it works, and help them communicate with the spirits on the Hornet.
All right. Now, not a quick question here, but how long has this ship been out of commission? And maybe can you give me a little, maybe my listeners, a little information on her history?
Sure. So the Hornet was commissioned in 1943. It participated in World War II. It also participated in Vietnam and the Apollo moon landings. In 1970, it was decommissioned, and it was basically left to become a mothball. And so what that means is other ships that were still around, other aircraft carriers, they could come and basically use the Hornet for parts because it was no longer required by the Navy. So luckily, thank goodness, in the 90s, the museum got their hands on the ship, and now it's docked in Alameda, and it's run as a museum by the Museum Society there. It's technically still owned by the Navy, but they basically let the museum run it, and pretty much everything on that ship is back to the way it was in the, I believe it was the 1950s, so they try to keep like the same paint, the same light bulbs. I mean, everything is authentic on that ship.
So they've kept it pretty much the way it's been ever since the beginning. Now,
exactly. It's sort of stuck in time, if you've ever been on that ship. And I think you have. So
I have. It was really fascinating.
It's definitely stuck in time.
I definitely want to go back when there's not a heavy metal concert. And only because, I mean, the people on the tour with me, I think, were a little intoxicated, and they were just asking ridiculous questions, in my opinion. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's actually one of the first times we've had that on there, so I don't know if that's going to happen again. It just seems like a weird kind of combination.
Well, you know, my husband goes, this is perfect. I like heavy metal, and you like haunted things. We'll go to this, and we'll all be happy. And I'm like, okay. As long as I get to go on the ghost tour, I'll be happy, which I did, and it was really, really cool. I wanted to ask you, when did you first notice the paranormal activity surrounding this vessel?
So the museum opened like in the late 90s. I want to say it was 1998, I believe it was, and right away, people started having experiences. The people that were basically cleaning up the ship, restoring it, they would see sailors in their uniforms walking by, and they thought that they worked for the Navy and were, like, checking up on their work. But when they went to go talk to these sailors, there was nobody there. Like, they had vanished.
Oh, wow.
And so this is, you know, ever since the 90s, since it became a museum, there have been people witnessing full-bodied apparitions. There's been phantom music, voices, basically men on the ship working as if it's never been decommissioned.
Wow. Well, you know, I have to admit, when we went on that haunted tour, I can't remember which room it was, but we went up this corridor into almost like a communications room, I think. And
uh-huh.
The lady that was doing the tour, she's talking and talking, and she says, oh, something just yanked on my ponytail. You know, and I sat there going, really? You know, yeah, right. You know, I kind of, and then about 20 seconds, 30 seconds later, something tugged on my jacket, and I had turned around because I thought it was either my husband or someone behind me. I turned around, and there was absolutely nobody there, so I sat there going, that's what I get for doubting her about her ponytail.
Yeah, that kind of thing happens all the time. We get, especially with the women, we get a lot of hair touching, And I think it's just the guys kind of playing around. You know, when the ship was in service, you know, obviously they didn't have women hanging around the ship. You know, they
right.
would be out to sea for months at a time without seeing a woman. So I think it's kind of a playful thing that they do.
Well, I didn't feel there was any kind of evil presence there. I mean, I've gone to other haunted places where it's like, oh, yikes, I don't know if I want to go in there. But, you know, this did not feel,
yeah.
it was more nostalgic, and it was very interesting. Now, my question, when I was there, one of the gentlemen, he was really incredible. He really knew his history on the ship and whatnot, was saying that this is not the original Hornet. The first one is actually laying at the bottom of the Pacific somewhere that went down in 1942. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. So the Hornet, the name the Hornet, actually comes from a ship that was part of the Revolutionary War. And so the Hornet that's in Alameda now is Hornet CV-12. The one that our Hornet replaced was an original aircraft carrier in World War II that was sunk at the Battle of Santa Cruz. And so they basically renamed our Hornet the Hornet, kind of as a symbol for Japan, you know, saying, you know, you got us, but, you know, we're not going to back down. And actually, it really intimidated the Japanese during the war that there was a ship that they thought they sunk. And here it is again, another Hornet. So they couldn't believe their eyes. They actually called it a ghost ship before it was a ghost ship.
Really? Oh, that's kind of creepy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And that's actually one of the sort of the superstitions around the ship is before it went out to fight in World War II, they had pretty much every religion come and bless the ship. So that's kind of one of the things to the ship. They say that it can't die. Because, you know, every religion has said, okay, we're blessed the ship, you know, everyone's going to be safe. And that's the way it was. The ship was never hit by enemy fire. Nobody was killed on the ship at the hands of an enemy. Any deaths that occurred on the ship were either accidents or from the typhoon that hit the flight deck or from suicide. So it was in a lot of battles, and nobody lost their lives in any of those battles.
So the ship that's sitting in Alameda right now, that is the exact ship that got hit by the typhoon that lost, I guess, like 70 servicemen, 70 sailors were thrown out to sea, correct?
That is correct, yeah. They basically patched it up in a few months and sent it back into battle.
Wow. If anyone wants to call in, I don't have the BBS website up, so I'm waiting for the number to come across, but I'm sure the ones listening, you have the website up. Feel free to give me a call if you have any questions for Summer. That would be great. The number to call is 888-627-6008 or 530-327-7602 is the other number to call. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. I am going to take calls for the next half hour. So we'd love to hear from you. Don't be shy. Now, Summer, you have some ghost tours coming up, is my understanding. And these are not just happening only at Halloween. These happen throughout the years, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we do. Usually we do a few per month. Our next one is on the 18th. It's a Thursday of October, and it's a history mystery after-hours tour. So basically, it's an abbreviated version of our overnight investigation. So it's about 3 hours and costs $35, and you can investigate with us on the ship. We take you to all the haunted hotspots. And then the next day on the 19th, which is that Friday, there's an overnight investigation. So that one starts at 6 o'clock and goes till the next morning, till 9 a.m. And that's $100. And again, we take you to all the hot spots, and you can spend the night on the ship and sleep in the actual bunks that the sailors slept in. And you can even sleep in the haunted hot spots of the ship if you want.
There was that tour I went on, some of those bunks. Someone was saying steer clear of bunk number 11 if you ever go on a sleepover unless you want a sailor saying, get out of my bunk in the middle of the night.
Actually, Yeah, that's in our JOB area, so that's the spirit that's in that area does not like anyone sitting in his bunk, and he will let you know.
Wow. Well, yeah, I can only imagine with all the tragedy that's been going, you know, had gone on that ship. It's no wonder it had, you know, it's haunted. It's one of the most haunted ships, my understanding, and it's gone. You've had several paranormal investigators do TV shows. Is that my understanding? Summer, are you still there? Well, we seem to have lost Summer, and hopefully our producer can get her back on the air. But the USS Hornet is actually a really incredible ship. I am, for some of you out there who don't live in California, if you ever travel to California, this is like something that's off the beaten track. It's an incredible part of military history. And it's really cool. Hopefully we'll get Summer back on. Summer, are you back with us?
Hey,
okay.
I'm here.
Hey, no, it's okay. It's all good. Technical difficulties. It happens. I'm trying to remember what I was saying now. You've had a lot of paranormal investigators from TV shows. This ship has been on many of those TV shows you see on TV from sci-fi and whatnot. Is that correct, or am I wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. They've been on Travel Channel. The Ghost Adventures crew was on there. It was on Ghost Hunters, and they did another show called Paranormal Challenge on the ship. And it's also been in a number of TV and film. I think one of the biggest films was a film called Red Dawn with Christian Bale. That was filmed there. And it's always being used for photography and film and whatnot. And what's funny about that is those crew members, you know, come to the ship not expecting much, and then they end up usually having a paranormal experience, which is really funny.
Really? I mean, they think it's all a hoax and hearsay and baloney, and then something happens?
Sure. We get a lot of people like that, but even people that just come on the ship for a history mystery tour, there'll be a lot of, you know, people, you know, thinking that it's not haunted or ghosts are just, you know, it's all phony, it's all smoke and mirrors. And then they end up leaving with an experience, you know, something that they can't explain. And it's really funny to see someone come in as a non-believer and then leave as a believer. I mean, it's pretty satisfying because what we do, I mean, the things that we've seen, we feel validated that other people are experiencing these same things.
Well, you know, when we were on that tour, even though I'm sure, you know, it probably, those ghosts that are on that ship probably got scared with the music that was playing, because these guys were from the 40s and 50s and hear this music that sounds like something coming from hell is playing.
Right.
And they were probably hiding the night that I was aboard that ship. I mean, we did, you know, you had one of those, now bear with me because I'm not really a paranormal investigator. There's these little machines. They're called EV something.
EMF detector?
EMF. Maybe? I'm writing this down. EMF detector. When you take the tour, do we get one of those, or does the tour guide walk around with one of those at all times?
Yeah, usually whoever your tour guide is will have some equipment with them. And one of the things that they like to communicate, the guys on the ship like to communicate with, are K2 meters, which are basically electromagnetic field detectors. And they've got little lights on them. And, you know, most of the time when we ask a question, we'll say, okay, if the answer is yes, light up all the lights on this meter. Because it's got four lights, so it goes green to red. We'll say, light up all the lights to red if the answer is yes, or light up only two lights if the answer is no. And sure enough, they respond intelligently to our questions. It doesn't seem random at all with those meters, which is pretty interesting, because I hardly ever use them myself outside of the Hornet, because they don't usually work for us. But on the Hornet,
they work
very active.
Well, I have to tell everyone that's listening tonight, I'm I am. I saw it with my own eyes, and I saw those that little detector in that one room. And I don't know which room this one is, but you'll know when I say this. The guy hung himself under that light area. It's all pitch black. You had this EMF detector there, and it was just going crazy. And they were asking it questions, and we kept watching that thing go back and forth, up and down, and it was like, wow. That's pretty cool. You know, it, like I said, it's not an eerie feeling. It's just kind of intense. You sit there and you go, wow, you know, that it's, they're here. I was convinced, and I didn't go into it thinking, oh, this isn't haunted. I believe it's haunted. Just by the feedback I've gotten from other paranormal investigators that have gone on board and said, oh yes, that ship is the real deal. It's actually it's really cool. You know, it's one of those, I was just saying when we lost contact with you a few seconds ago off air, I was saying that, you know, this is something that's kind of off the beaten path. If anyone ever travels to San Francisco, it, you know, go ahead and ride the trolley cars by all means, but you'll definitely want to have this experience. It's something that you'll never forget, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't have to just come for you know, the haunted mystery tours. I mean, we have activity there all the time, all hours of the day. We've seen full-bodied apparitions during the daytime. So they just come and visit the museum. It's just a very cool part of history that you just don't have access to in other places. Like, it's amazing how the museum is kept and how everything's original. And I think the museum fee is something like $12 or $15, something like that.
That's to be a member.
Stay there. It's huge.
It is huge. I actually plan on coming up this month for October because there's not a whole lot you can do with a concert going on. I really kind of felt, and I don't want to say shortchange because I really enjoyed the ghost hunt, ghost tour, but I kind of sat there going, well, I want to see more of this magnificent ship, you know? This isn't enough.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more.
You can really spend hours there.
So you don't necessarily have to do a ghost tour. Because I have two children, and, you know, one of them, she's 12. She said, there's no way I'm spending the night on that ship. You guys can go, but no, you can send me to Grandma's. I said, well, would you do a tour of just the ship itself? And my seven-year-old even said, yes, I'll go ahead and do that. There's a little something for everyone, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a place for families. It's not, you know, there's no negative feelings or emotions tied to that ship. It's really a happy place. And, you know, it could be a little sad at times when you are making contact with spirits and, you know that these guys are no longer alive. And that's sad in itself, but for the most part, they're all there because they want to be there because they love the ship. And that's just the way all of us volunteers, how we feel about the ship. We all love it so much that we often are there when we don't need to be. So it's a great place definitely for families and for anyone who loves history and ghosts or, you know, either of those things. It's a fun place to visit.
Now, I have one question. You have a thing there called a flight simulator. Is that can people go on that, or is that just for show?
No, yeah, it's like a ride, basically. So you go inside, and it's like a virtual reality, like, airplane ride. So you can kind of fly your own ship or your own plane or your own helicopter inside this sort of little, like a little room that moves. It's got, like, hydraulics on it. So you actually feel like you're inside an airplane. It's pretty cool.
All right, and anyone can go and do that with any tour, or is it only special tours that they get the opportunity to do that?
Oh, no, they can do it anytime they want. As soon as you come onto the ship, you have access to the whole ship for the most part, all the open areas that aren't dangerous or blocked off. But they can go up to the flight deck. They can do the flight simulator. They can go look at the exhibits. So it's really open every day of the year, I think, except for Christmas Day and I believe Thanksgiving Day, but it's open every day other than those 2 days.
So like 362 days out of the year it's open. The guys, I have one more question. And I didn't add this in, so you're probably unprepared for this, but it's nothing major. It's just I noticed that some of the older gentlemen that were doing the tour, they had their hats on, you know, and it said the USS Hornet. And I know I'm aware you can buy those as souvenirs, but are any of your tour guides former crew members of this ship at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's absolutely. So cool.
There's many of them that were on that ship. I'm not sure if any of them were there during World War II, but they were definitely there during the Vietnam stuff and prior to the Vietnam stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys there, a lot of docents that actually served on the ship and know a heck of a lot more about it than I do, you know, obviously. So, you know, if you do come visit, definitely have a chat with those guys. They will talk your ear off all day about the ship and tell you things that, you know, that aren't listed in the museum and the exhibits and things like that, because they actually live there and live through things. And
they have stories to tell.
People to talk to.
I actually did spark up a conversation with one of them, and then he finally said, I got to get going. I got a tour coming up. I could sit here all day and talk about this. But, yeah, it's really cool when you get to talk to someone who has actually been a crew member, has experienced it and been on board and probably has a lot of stories that we don't even know of that he can tell through his eyes. Do you want to give out the email address one more time? My seems like we're having a quiet night tonight, which is okay. You know, that kind of happens on a full moon usually. And is there anything somewhere else you want to add to this? We have about 5 more minutes. If you want to talk a little more about any other events coming up. I know you have the Halloween ghost tours, and is there any other special events coming up for the USS Hornet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So so we talked about Friday the 19th is the overnight investigation. Saturday the 20th, they're having a Glenn Miller big band event. The Friday the 26th is a Ship of Spirits, which is it's kind of a haunted tour, but they actually decorate the ship to make it look scary. And then there's the Halloween stuff on the 27th and the 31st. All of this stuff is on the website, which is www.uss-hornet.org. And there's a calendar link there that you can look at and phone numbers so you can get tickets and whatnot. And actually, our group, Alameda Paranormal, is having a fundraiser for the Hornet on October 25th. If you guys want to check that out, we're actually doing a live investigation from another location. So any money we raise is going to go to the Hornet. And you can find out more information about that on our website, which is www.alamedaparanormal.com.
All right. I hope everyone got that. If you didn't, I will post it on my Facebook page, Cosmic Code Radio on Facebook. I will also post the USSHornet.org so you guys could take a look at any of those events that are taking place. And this is for the month of October. I had a flyer, and I can't seem to find it. And it had a long list of other stuff coming in 2013 and stuff. But you guys have these haunted tours all the time. So,
all the time, yeah. Every month there's something. And the full calendar is online on the Hornet's website.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we shall be up there sometime this month. And if anybody's listening, you know, it'd be great to do a group tour with people in the Bay Area and the Monterey area who want to come up with me and do a tour. I'm sure you guys do group rates, right?
Oh, absolutely. You can book the entire ship for just your group. And that's how we got started with the Hornet. We just had 6 people and we came on there and we had the whole ship for 8 hours to ourselves, which was amazing. And you guys can do the same thing, and it's really not that expensive if you spread up the cost between 6 to 8 people.
Oh, that sounds so cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Summer, for joining me this evening. It was a real pleasure having you, and you will see me definitely on the Hornet in the next few weeks to get into the spirit of Halloween. All of you listening out there tonight, like I said, this is a little lost secret in Northern California, so if you're a tourist and you're coming to California to visit, this is something you do not want to miss. Summer, anything else you'd like to add before I close out tonight?
No. Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate it, and I hope you guys come out to the Hornet. It really is a great place, and, you know, it doesn't get a lot of funding from the government or anywhere else, so we really rely on the money from the patrons, from donations, from people visiting us. So come out, check it out, and I promise you'll have a good time.
Every little bit helps, you bet. And thank you so much. And when I go on the Hornet, I'll just shoot you an email saying I'm arriving. Hopefully I'll get to meet you in person.
Yeah, I look forward to it. It should be a good time.
Me too. Thanks so much, Summer, for joining us. Summer Carter, everyone from the USS Hornet, paranormal investigator. Been a real pleasure to have you on this evening, and we will have you on again in the near future. Thank you so much.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too. All right, folks. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. It has been a great show. I do have a few more minutes, and I am going to close out with my friends from France, Sweetest Devilry. These guys are like young enough to be my children, and I just think they're incredibly talented, and the music's perfect for Halloween. So I will be closing out. I will return on October 14th, hopefully with Dr. Torrey. As far as I know, it's set. In the next couple of months, we shall be getting some pretty incredible guests. I'm not going to say who quite yet. It's not set in stone. But I am going to be having a world-famous writer, author, and an investigative reporter. And he's done a lot of incredible stuff on exposing our government and all the dirty deeds that, go with that. I'll give you a hint. He wrote a book. He has a new book out. I can't for the life of me remember what it is, but his book before that was called Vulture's Picnic. So you guess who that guest will be in the very near future here on Cosmic Code Radio. Everybody have a great evening. Have a great week. Be safe, and we shall see you in 2 weeks. Blessings to all. See you soon.